Sakyaki Hadir Dimad Avatara Katak Shubaha Lila Vidadatak Swainam Ishvarasyatma Mayaya Ata. Therefore, Akyahi, describe Harehe of the Lord, Demon, O sagacious one. Avatara, incarnations, Kataha, narratives, Shubaha, auspicious, Lila, adventures, Vidadatak, performed, Swairam, past times, Ishwarasya, of the Supreme Controller, Atma, personal, Maya, energies. Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada. O wise Sutta, please narrate to us the transcendental pastimes of the Supreme Godheads, multi-incarnations. Such auspicious adventures and pastimes of the Lord, the Supreme Controller, are performed by his internal powers. Purport. For the creation, maintenance, and destruction of the material worlds, the Supreme Lord Personality of Godhead himself appears in many thousands of forms of incarnations. And the specific adventures found in those transcendental forms are all auspicious. Both those who are present during such activities and those who hear the transcendental narrations of such activities are benefited. So, the sages here at Naimisharanya are recognizing Sutta as a very saintly person. They're taking the position of disciples and accepting him as guru. It's not just that they're, you know, he's a hired man to provide some entertainment. They're treating him with great respect, and they're hoping to get blessings from him, to get benediction, benefit, as Prabhupada says here. They recognize, Prabhupada explains, that those who are present during the Lord's activities, they're benefited. Anyone who sees Krishna, if he doesn't get love of God, he should at least get liberation. And if he's so thick-skulled and thick-hearted that he can't even earn liberation by Krishna's association, at least he gets a better destination in the next life. Becomes greatly benefited, not just temporary benefits, but benefits over many lifetimes, including liberation, hopefully, and maybe even including love of God. Love of God is not given so cheaply. Muktim dadati karhichit nasma bhakti yogam. Lord Vasudev, sometimes he gives liberation, but hardly ever does he give love of God. We take advantage of the fact that we're devotees of Krishna and of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But so we can easily get love of God by the special attraction of Krishna and the special mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But the Lord has many avatars. The sages want to hear about many of those avatars. Actually, 33 avatars are described in any detail in the Bhagavatam, besides just being mentioned. 33 have at least one chapter of description. So it's not all the avatars. some of the avatars, just a sample, a good sample of important avatars. But it's plural. Although the prime interest is in Krishna, to be prepared to hear and understand about Krishna, it's good to hear about the other avatars. Those who are present, those who see those avatars are present during their pastimes and witness. They get great benefits, but love of God, not always. Srila Rupa Goswami, in the Laghu Bhagavatamrita, he gives explanation. That's a special feature of Krishna that makes him superior to his other avatars. That the other avatars generally don't give love of God to those demons who they kill. The special devotees may get love of God, but even that is rare. Most of the other avatars don't have such intimate devotees. Lord Ramachandra had a few to whom he gave prema. Hanuman, Vibhishana, Sugriva, his brothers. He gave them prema. But not to everybody, to all devotees, not so easily. And what to speak of the bestowing of love of God upon demons who were killed by the Lord personally? That is only done by Krishna, not by his other avatars. And the proof of it is given by Rupa Goswami citing the, and it's also in the Bhakti Sandarbha of Jiva Goswami, same description. Citation from the Vishnu Dharmotara Purana describing how, let's see if I get it right, it was not Kalanimi, but Hiranyaksha, Vijay, the second of the great Vaikuntha doorkeepers, took birth three times as first Hiranyaksha, then Ravana, and then Shishupal. So that demon, that devotee who became a demon, had to take birth three times. That was the benediction given to him by Lord Narayan. But that meant that in the first two killings, he didn't get liberation, what to speak of love of God. Even liberation, only Krishna gives liberation immediately to the demons who he kills. The other demons killed by other avatars get material benefits only. So we see, as described in the Vishnu Dharmotara Purana, cited by Rupa Goswami and Jiva Goswami, in his first birth, as Hiranyaksha, he was killed by Lord Varaha, but didn't get liberation that time. He just got a better birth as another demon. Because the demon was born in a later age in Treta Yuga, he was not as physically powerful. But he was, Ravana was a big demon. So he got the opulence and the power of Ravana, the power to control the whole universe and make the demigods serve him. Because of being killed by Krishna as Hiranyaksha. Then Ravana was killed, and he did not get liberation that time either. And the reason is given, by explained by Jiva Goswami, that they didn't have any real attraction to Krishna. They saw Lord Varaha and then Lord Ramachandra as an opponent, but they didn't have any transcendental attraction. They had no seed of love of God. That attraction was not there. They just saw the Lord Varaha and then Lord Ramachandra as a rival, just someone in their way. They had no appreciation for who they really were. Therefore, they didn't get liberation by being killed by them. And because they weren't Krishna, they were just avatars. So, second time being killed as Ravana by Lord Ramachandra, he took birth again, this time as Shishupal. It's an even later age, Kali, the end of Dwarpa Yuga, so Shishupala is just a king, doesn't conquer the whole world. He's just an ally of Jarasandha and of Kamsa. But intimately connected with Krishna from birth. He meditated on Krishna all his life, in hatred, but very intensely. And he had the benediction from Krishna that he could insult Krishna 100 times and not get reaction for it. When he had used up those 100 insults at the Rajasriya sacrifice of Yudhishthira and was about to finally get his reward to get killed by Krishna, all of that meditation added up at the last minute, and he was looking at Krishna and became actually attracted. He developed actual attraction for Krishna as the Sudarshan Chakra was whizzing toward his head to cut off his neck. So at the last moment, he attained love of God and liberation in one package. But only because it was Krishna who killed him, not some other avatar. Special quality of Krishna. Liberation not given much, usually just to some special devotees. Love of God hardly given to anybody. Krishna is different. Lataswapi prema do bhavati. This is who said this? Bill Mangala? Krishna Karnamrita? What a wonderful avatar, Krishna. That he bestows love of God even on the trees and the creepers in Vrindavan. Everybody in Vrindavan, even the vegetables, are displaying symptoms of ecstasy. Ashtika bhavas. Sattvika bhavas. So that's the potency of Krishna in comparison to all other forms of Godhead. He's bestowing love of God on everybody who comes in association with him. Even the demons whom he kills who don't want to love him, at least he gives them liberation. So therefore, Shonaka and the other sages, they consider it their priority to hear these avatars, hear about these avatars, and ultimately to hear a lot about Krishna's appearance. That is what they want, and that is what they know Sutta can deliver. Demon, oh intelligent one, oh Ugrashrava Sutta, you have the brains, you have the intelligence to give us what we need. Potent, pure, lucid description of the appearance and the adventures and pastimes of these avatars. No ordinary person can give such a recitation. People can say something. There are so many Bhagavat reciters. It's a family business. They learn from their fathers how to recite Bhagavatam. But there is no spiritual potency there if it's just done as a business. There's no devotion. There's no proper qualification to effectively recite the pastimes of Krishna in such a way that it will have equal potency to having witnessed directly yourself. That's what Prabhupada says. Both those who are present during such activities and those who hear the transcendental narrations of such activities are benefited. So there's always some benefit from hearing. Even if you hear from a professional man who's just in it for the money, there is benefit. But that is Bhagavatam recital in the modes of passion and ignorance. It is minimal benefit. And it's not pure transcendental benefit. You can improve your business and your family life by hearing the professional Bhagavat recitals. But you won't become a pure devotee of Krishna by hearing from those who are impure, who are materialistic. You have to hear from devotees who are pure, then you'll become pure. So Prabhupada just leaves it, they're benefited. It depends on who you hear from and how you hear. That will determine what kind of benefit you get, how much benefit, and how pure and potent. To get the kind of benefit that the sages are hoping for, you have to hear from someone of the caliber of Sutta Goswami or Shukadeva Goswami, or as close to that as you can find. We're very fortunate we're hearing from Srila Prabhupada, someone who has got the purity and the potency of these great sages, Shukadev, Sutta. He's specially empowered by Lord Nityananda and all the parampara to deliver this message potently and purely. And then do it in our language. to enter into our culture and speak to us in a way that we can understand. It's one thing that he's got the message, but how can he convey it if he doesn't know the language and doesn't know the culture? But he was born into the modern culture. Bhaktivinoda Thakur was born into an India that was conquered by the British. And he got a British education. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur also got a modern education, went to Calcutta University. And Prabhupada also went to Scottish Church College and studied English poetry and chemistry and was trained up to function in the modern westernized world of modern India. He entered the culture. Krishna put him into it in order that he could communicate with us, not to just waste the first 70 years of his life just twiddling his fingers and waiting for something to happen. But this was a lifetime in preparation. So we want to follow Prabhupada and assist in his mission. Most of us, well, half of us here, more than half, were born in the West. So we don't have to learn the Western culture. We have to unlearn it. Yeah. What we have to learn is the culture of the spiritual culture of India. We're here, not in New York or Perth, because we have to learn the Vedic culture and not just read about it from the books and think that it's just an anachronism or a mythology. But we have to sit here and actually live it. As much as possible, we have to actually live this Vedic culture. No excuses that we don't want to be Vedic. We just want to be what we were born. We have to be more radical. We have to actually develop a better lifestyle. You can be Krishna conscious living in Los Angeles, you know, and living a Los Angeles lifestyle. You can, but it's difficult to be on the highest level of Krishna consciousness in such an environment. Pure devotee can go. But because he's already imbibed the transcendental culture, it's in his blood, it's in his way he lives, then he can go anywhere. But it's difficult for us, born in the materialistic culture and the materialistic culture of India, the current materialistic perverted culture of India, dog-eat-dog culture. I don't mean the people are dogs. I didn't mean to be insulting, but dog-eat-dog means it's just cutthroat competition. All that matters in modern India is power. How much power you have to dominate other people is how you're judged as a good or a useless person. And that's all that's really respected in modern India is raw power. But even money is less important than power. So that's the modern culture all over the world, including India. If we want to become really advanced in Krishna consciousness, we have to rise above this. We have to become disinfected of this Western modern culture. And therefore we're sitting here. We're sitting here learning how to live without all the conveniences. And it's not just because we're stuck here. It was just a quirk of circumstance that we're here and not someplace more comfortable. But Krishna wants it like that. That we get trained up as brahmanas, as those who aren't dependent on all sorts of material luxuries. That's what a rishi means. You know, the stereotype of the rishi. He's got to, you know, have matted hairs and, you know, look skinny and emaciated and a little grouchy and dirty clothes and ripped up clothes. This is a rishi. You know, the movies and the karmic books, they always look like the same. So we don't have to conform externally to that stereotype. Not that our dhotis have to be ripped up and dirty and we have to never comb our hair or let our hair grow into mats. You know, that's not required. but the consciousness and the behavior of a rishi is desirable, sagacious, unattached to material things, very much focused on the important spiritual priorities. You can't focus yourself very well on the spiritual priorities if you're distracted by material concerns. So minimize those material concerns. Chirani patina santi dishanti bhiksham naivam vipa paribito sarito pyashushan rudha guha kimita ajito navato pasandan kasmad bhajanti kavayo dadadur madahandan. Are there not, Sukadeva Goswami is saying, in the beginning of his narration, aren't there torn cloths on the street? Why do you need to go to the fancy shops and, you know, in the expensive shopping malls to buy your clothes? You have to wear a designer dhoti and kurta and an expensive watch and make yourself look very attractive. Why? Aren't there ripped cloths available on the street? Are the rivers dried up? You don't have any water to drink? Isn't there water in the rivers? They stop flowing? You need a fancy bed? Aren't there rocks on the ground you can sleep on? And so on. So why do the saintly persons go to the materialistic rich men begging them for some money? It is our business to beg for the guru, to beg for preaching, but not one penny for ourselves. Krishna will maintain us. We don't need to accumulate money for ourselves. That's the position of a brahmachari. One who thinks he needs his own money, he needs to take a percentage for himself and put it away, then he shouldn't wear saffron. It's hypocrisy to be taking money and putting it in your own pocket or your own bank account and wearing saffron. Brahmachari should be satisfied with what the guru provides him and not have to accumulate for himself. That's certainly the standard of Shukadeva Goswami. So it's the sages who are eager and capable of hearing the narrations of Krishna's pastimes in his various incarnations and the wonderful adventures that he performs in those pastimes. Exciting, stimulating, but you're only fit to receive that stimulation if you have the consciousness of a rishi. And the speaker also has to have, more than the audience, the consciousness of a rishi. Then the process is effective. So this is the prelude to a successful narration of Srimad Bhagavatam, these questions being asked by the sages in this first chapter, setting the scene for the narration at Naimisharanya of Srimad Bhagavatam. Hare Krishna. Okay, so are there any questions or comments? Yes, Prabhu.
Two things I would like to ask.
Yes, please.
The first thing is that there are so many, in Bhagavatam you said there are 33 avatars that are mentioned.
More than a mention, 33 that get at least one chapter.
Yeah, at least one chapter. So, like some of the avatars, like Dattatreya and others, if they would be present now, like we wouldn't have definitely like recognized them as avatars because they are speaking Mayavad and stuff like that. So there are so many other claims, like so many other avatars all around the country. So how do we...
Well, actually, speaking Mayavad philosophy is not a complete disqualification. We have to recognize Dattatreya as an avatar of Vishnu because he is. The Bhagavatam says he is, more than once. So we acknowledge him and we worship him, but we don't listen to his philosophy. We also honor Shankaracharya as a whatever he is, an avatar of Lord Shiva. But we don't listen to him either. So it's not a reason for rejecting the avatar that he's... It is his pastime or his assignment to preach this Mayavad philosophy. Yeah, I'm sorry, that didn't answer the question.
Yes, partly. The most part of it is that these people, they bank so much upon this statement that there are so many avatars, like those slogans that you can't count the number of avatars that come and people and avatars keep coming. So it's like, so they say he's not mentioned in the Bhagavatam, he's not mentioned in any of the known scriptures. Like anybody, like when they come, so many avatars, followers are there. Like,
yeah, so, yes. Like, so you don't have to be mentioned in the Bhagavatam, because the Bhagavatam can't mention all of them anyway. But you have to fit the pattern of a genuine avatar that we learn from the Bhagavatam and other shastras. You got to be a recognizable avatar. Anyway, for those who are not mentioned in the Bhagavatam, we have to appeal to the opinions of the acharyas. When the acharyas tell us that so-and-so is a genuine avatar, then we accept. Otherwise, it's doubtful. Beware of imitations. There's lots of fake avatars on the market. So you really, a lot of them are, some of them are just going to be doubtful and you won't be able to decide. Is this really an avatar? Because the popular opinion. Don't trust the popular opinion. Trust on the matter of who's an avatar. You have to trust the standard acharya's opinions. Just like, someone's trying to sell you something, he says it's a diamond ring. You have to get it checked by a certain, a reputable laboratory that it is a genuine diamond ring. You're not going to spend $20,000 on something doubtful. You have to have it carefully checked. So any prospective avatar has to be certified by our standard acharyas. Otherwise, we can't, throw our faith away. Risk, taking an unreasonable risk. We can say maybe avatar, but I don't know.
Yeah. So you said one major lakshana is that acharyas or the standard acharyas should recognize. So can we say that another one is always they manifest, in the human form at least, they manifest all the lakshanas that are mentioned of the body, like the proportions and lakshanas.
Well, sometimes the avatars disguise themselves more or less. Okay. They may hide those lakshanas. They may not show them. How many do you need? You need all 32?
Yeah.
I don't think they're always visible. And, it's no problem for an avatar to disguise himself and not show his glories. Because he doesn't want to be recognized. So, he may be hiding. Or hiding his glories, his symptoms.
Another question.
But then again, if you don't see the symptoms, then you have to be left in doubt.
Yes.
And then you can offer respect to him. You don't know, whatever you are, yosi sosi namostute, whatever you are, I offer you my respects. But you can't judge who he actually is.
Yes. So in order to surrender to him also, you need to know for sure if he's an avatar. Otherwise, you're just left in doubt.
Yeah.
Otherwise, we can't surrender to him.
I mean, who to surrender to? We have to get that instruction from our gurus also. Offer obeisances to him. So then I offer obeisances to him because my guru tells me to. And we offer obeisances to all the Vaishnavas and certainly all the Vishnus. Definitely. But, who is a Vaishnava and who's Vishnu, sometimes it's a little bit doubtful. Whether someone is Vishnu or even a Vaishnava, sometimes we don't know. Yeah. Then we can offer him, respect as a living entity. Yeah, we should offer respect to all living entities. You don't have to insult anybody, but sometimes we're left in doubt. Okay.
Another question.
Okay. Everyone, hold on. I got you on cue, but he has another question. Yes.
This.
No. First Vishnu Kanta, then you. No. Ask your other question. Okay. I'm just putting everybody
in
the queue.
You had said about power being a very important factor also.
Power in India.
Yeah.
Modern Indian culture.
And that has so much to do with the preaching tactic, the way of preaching that we should go on. Because maybe in the cities where people are more philosophically oriented, we can start from the understanding of absolute truth, you're not the body and all this. But then if we try to preach in villages, then it's very much like this, that they want to see power. Like recently there was one person who came here, that Rajesh, he came to our room and he was asking us, tell me what will happen and whether I'll be able to become successful, give me guidance to what to do. I have failed in so many businesses. So So holy men means they expect some power everywhere, and especially in the villages. Like, they have got so many problems with their daily life, like agriculture, health, and business. So they expect direct solutions for that, and then only they will have. Then only they will consider you seriously, also, like, to deal with you. But otherwise, you can never penetrate through them.
But is that our business, to provide solutions to material problems?
Hey, it's not our business.
Especially just to show power. I don't think that's good preaching. To make cheap shows of even mystic tricks, what to speak of just ordinary material problem solving. Not the business of a preacher. We want to solve the basic problems of birth and death, old age and disease. Those problems we deal with. Other problems are for technicians, doctors, lawyers, and mundane religionists can deal with the other problems. But we deal with the problems of birth, death, disease, and old age. And if people aren't impressed enough with that, then they're just too foolish.
Like, especially when it comes to acting as brahmanas, then yes. In the Vedic society, it was the duty of the brahmana to give direct guidance to people in matters of business and everything.
Well, okay, but that's not business of a Vaishnava. So we're first of all Vaishnavas and Brahman second. We should not let our Vaishnav function be covered over by mundane, being a mundane Brahman. You may have an occupation. Maybe you have to make a living for your family and you work as an astrologer or something. That's okay. But that's just out of necessity. It should not become prominent. That's karma, jnana karma, adi anavritam. Don't let the karma cover up your bhakti.
Okay.
Vishnu Kanta.
Telling how Krishna is very extraordinary, since he gives liberation to even the demons, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is even more compassionate and merciful because he gives love of God to everyone whoever meets him.
Yes.
So, like, even demons like Hiranyakashipu and so many other people, they got liberation and love of God at Putana and all. So, Mahaprabhu being the most merciful incarnation,
yes.
Why is that? I mean, even devotees who are like opposite to demons, they are dedicating their whole life, but they are not getting, I mean, we don't feel even
well,
1%
no, but
love of God.
Because Lord Chaitanya wants to perfect these devotees through proper sadhana. He doesn't want to give them a quick, easy solution. You know, especially this is Kali Yuga. We're dealing with very, very fallen living entities. So deliver them takes some time. And the Lord wants to engage us in His service. Lord Chaitanya can give us all immediate liberation and take us out of this world, but He has a mission to perform. That's His leela. We want to join Lord Chaitanya's leela. Well, it's going on here. And therefore, we should stay here. And therefore, Lord Chaitanya is keeping us here and not giving us immediate liberation. So we can participate in this leela of Sankirtan, of preaching the Sankirtan movement. So he keeps his devotees stuck in the material world because he has business in the material world. Otherwise, Lord Chaitanya certainly can give everybody, all his devotees, immediate salvation and just take us away. But he has business here. And also, we're pretty stubborn. In my case, I'm just stubborn. I don't accept the mercy of Lord Chaitanya. Therefore, I'm stuck here. Okay? Yeah.
You have mentioned in lecture that you can get benefit even from hearing the professional recitals of Srimad Bhagavatam.
Some benefit.
So, is it in the case when we sure that this reciter is not Mayavadi? Or what kind of benefit?
No, if he's a materialist, we should not hear from him. It would be aparad for a disciple of Srila Prabhupada or a disciple of a disciple of Srila Prabhupada to go listen to professional Bhagavat reciters. It would be a very serious apparat against Prabhupada. It's something he doesn't want us to do. So others have the adhikar, simple materialistic people. They'll get some benefit from hearing from other materialists. But when we've gotten Prabhupada's mercy and we've gotten the pure message from him, it's an insult to Prabhupada to go listen to materialists. Insult to Prabhupada. So we should not do it. Others can do it. It's better than not listening at all. Some benefit is there. If materialists hear from other materialists, But we've been saved by Prabhupada, therefore we should not go listen to these materialists at all. Unless we want to insult Prabhupada. Okay? Yeah. Yes, ma'am.
By Brahmastra and the demons of Ravana, they tried to bind him by ropes. So it was an insult to Brahmastra. So Brahmastra ceased working, not because it can't work, but it's as a general rule, like if somebody is tied up with a Brahmastra, and then if any other thing is used to do the same thing, then the Brahmastra ceases to function because it's an insult on the Brahmastra.
Yes, insult. An insult to the potency of the Brahmastra and an insult to Prabhupada's potency and mercy. Did you have to go listen to some materialist? Okay. Hold on. Yes, Dabodara Gopal Prabhu.
Hare Krishna. I'm just trying to understand the situation of this material world. That Krishna comes in one day of Brahma. And he makes it more easy to attain Krishna Prem. It's like more available in his pastimes.
Yes.
But isn't it this material world, the whole purpose of this material world is to go back to Godhead. And if only all the other incarnations, a very few attain love for God. You said a very few attain love for God in some attain liberation. So is this liberation Vaikuntha liberation or impersonal liberation? Okay, that's one question.
And both kinds.
And isn't it that and people also get liberated by hearing the not exactly associating like with the Lord when he comes, but hearing these pastimes after?
Yes, so hearing after, many centuries after, many ages after, you can hear Krishna's pastimes. You can hear Lord Ramachandra's pastimes.
And attain...
You can attain liberation. You can attain liberation and love of God by the hearing.
By the hearing.
You don't have to be physically present. That's why Prabhupada says both. Those who are present and those who hear later on, they get benefit.
Same, equal benefit.
So in one sense, it's not just a very, very, very little few that go, but many people can go back to God.
By hearing Krishna's glories, which are almost always available. Mm. You know, Bhagavad Gita is always there. Bhagavatam is always there in some form, being preached by somebody.
And also, thank you very much. Lord Ramachandra is a citizen in Ayodhya. Didn't they had Krishna Prem?
They have Ramachandra Prem. It's a different, flavor.
Didn't they had Ramachandra Prem?
It's something, between Goloka and Vaikuntha. It's above the ordinary part of Vaikuntha, but it's not part of Goloka. Hmm. Ayodhya is a special in-between planet. Above that is Mathura, where the Krishna Prema is manifest in a special form.
But you were saying in your class that Ramachandra gave Krishna Prem
to a few devotees.
To a few devotees. So how to reconcile the fact that the citizens also had?
Well, the eternal residents in Vaikuntha, yes. Okay, they get in the end. He gave to all of Ayodhya, brought them back to Vaikuntha. You cannot be living in Vaikuntha if you don't have prema, at least Vaikuntha prema. You have to have love of God to be able to live in Vaikuntha. Now, you want to live in Beverly Hills, you have to pay a lot of rent. You know, a pauper, a person with no money, can't live in Beverly Hills unless he wants to live in the gutter. So he has to have money. So you have to have prema to be able to reside in Vaikuntha. It's not possible without it.
Also, you're speaking, thank you. Also, you're speaking about...
But like it's a different grade of prema. It's not on the level of Raja prema. It's a lower level, yes.
Also, you're speaking about brahmacharis not accumulating money or getting money for themselves. Like, for example, sometimes people give me donations. So what should I do with those?
We can just take permission to use it for a special purpose. You can register the donation, you know, with your authorities that somebody, I've been given this donation, you know, can I use it for such purpose? That's the, that would be the best thing, the ideal thing to do is to acknowledge the donation. Don't keep it secret. Then, you know, your authorities will give you permission to put money aside for some purpose. You know, to get a ticket to go somewhere or something. That's the best thing for a brahmachari. Not to be keeping secret bank accounts, money stuffed away in corners. That's not good for a brahmachari. Shouldn't be. Shouldn't have a material, you know, establishment, material bank account. Brahmachari may, you know, because he has to travel, he has to go visit his country every 3 years or whatever it is. I mean, you know, money has to be put aside, but it should be authorized.
Okay, thank you.
Sure. Yes. Brahmachari shouldn't have any secrets. Anything stash away in a secret place.
So I have also one question about Hiranyaksha and Hiranyakashipu. Practically, we can see in these pastimes they were sent by Supreme Lord himself to this earth in order to be able to fight with them. So, and then they had to undergo through three birth, and then after that Shishupala, he was killed by Krishna and he obtained only Sayujya Mukti. So, yes. And it seems not to be fair from
not
Krishna's part.
Not to be fair.
Fair from Krishna's
part. Well, that was the discussion. How is this fair? But why do you say not fair?
Because Krishna sends them and then instead of get them back to him, to Vaikuntha, he just gave them an impersonal liberation.
Oh no, but Shishupala was not finished with that. He took birth again in pastimes of Lord Chaitanya and got you know, prema for Radha and Krishna. Who did Shishupala take birth as? One of them, Madai or somebody. So, he, you know, there was more to it. He took birth one more time.
Does it mean that they get impersonal liberation and after that then...
The impersonal liberation is not final. It, you know, he graduates beyond that later on. Okay. Last comment, please.
Incarnation of the Lord, they will not get liberation?
No, like they'll get something, actually some material benefit normally. Demons who are killed. Devotees can get liberation, but demons who are killed by the Lord, if it's not Krishna, then they don't get liberation. They may get something intermediate, some benefit, but not liberation. This, I'm saying that because Rupa Goswami says that. Loko Bhagavatamrita. Okay, so we'll stop here. Thank you, all glories to Srila Prabhupada, Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai.